Okay, ready?
Yeah, let's get started.
Hello, and welcome back to The Hen House. I'm Michaela.
And I'm Emily.
And I'm Lauren.
And Stefan's here too.
Hey.
And today we're talking about the price tag of meat. Money. Well, farmer products.
Money.
And is
money.
A farmer's price tag really worth it?
This is good. I'm excited.
Yep.
I have some questions brewing as well.
Great.
Even though, like, it's going to be a lot of you guys talking and chit-chatting.
You know what's actually really trippy?
What?
I'm so used to not being on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for the intro music to come in.
Ding, ding, ding. You're like,
but it didn't come
guys,
in.
When does this, let's get started. You were waiting for that?
Yeah. I was
just so you know, Lauren, when you drop your phone, we can hear it. Like when you drop it on the table.
It's okay.
It's duly noted.
Just.
Anyways, this is our first episode back since our one that we talked about at the new year when we were at the cottage.
Our video episode.
Our video episode was pretty cool. I don't know how you guys liked that. It was fun.
It was fun.
I had to like prop my phone up and.
There was a lot more work on the post.
And the editing with it. But it was cool. It was fun to do. And we took a break last week because 2 weeks ago, I was really sick. So I would not have been able to record. So now we're back and we're talking about money and meat.
Yep.
That's and a good name
just
for
like,
that.
I think all farmers' products, like some people grow vegetables, some people do eggs and meat. But so we're going to mostly talk about pork only because we're pork farmers.
Yeah,
so
sense.
We kind of are talking about what we know.
Yeah.
And like, it's a good like scale to scale because you can buy pork in the grocery store.
Yep.
And it's farmed on a large scale versus small scale. So it's a good like starting point, I think. So like really the question that we're trying to answer is buying from food from a farm really worth it? And what does that mean?
And quick question as a starter, are we talking about like a small farm or are we talking about large scale farm? I know most large scale farms supply grocery stores, so in this case are we talking about like grocery store versus like bigger than a hobby farm, like what
I would
you guys
say
are?
Grocery store versus like a local farmer,
a local
so
farm.
Like
okay.
A hobby farm ish maybe just a little
something like, that you would go to like a farmer's market for.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect. Just so that we know.
And actually we're going to talk about, that's the first thing I want to talk about, was the differences between the two.
Perfect. Okay.
So like just straight, not differences, I guess differences, like maybe they could be good or bad. Like we're not going to really comment on them, but like kind of give a outline so that we can understand what's the differences and just kind of draw that question out.
Perfect.
For the listeners and kind of define it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's perfect.
So the first thing that I wrote down was that obviously a grocery store, large scale farming is mass produced.
Yep.
So very, very large scale, whereas we are very small. We're produced on a small scale. Just like kind of that distinction that you were saying. Lauren, do you have one? Have an idea for another difference between the two?
I'm trying to find my notes. Continue.
Okay, I'll say the other one. in a large scale like grocery store operation, the animals are typically confined. And like sometimes on a small scale, like space wise, or like we have friends who do pigs indoors.
Right.
We do pigs outdoors, but typically like small farmers will have their animals outside and do free range. It's not all the time. Like I just want to say that caveat, but it's known in the large scale farming, obviously, that they are confined
indoors.
Indoors. Yeah.
Right.
It's controlled, a controlled environment.
Right.
You also have quantities.
Yeah.
Which definitely correlates with profit as well in between the two.
Right. So like quantities would be more at the grocery store?
Yeah, like grocery stores, like just their suppliers.
Right, produce mass production.
Hundreds and hundreds of pigs where grocery, like a farm.
Yeah.
Like a.
Because how many pigs do you guys have?
Three breeders. Right. And then out of that, we normally have up to like, they have 13 each. So whatever that is.
Somebody do the math. 13 times 3.
But we usually sell some off as livestock.
Right.
And then we usually do about 13 pigs a year.
Okay. Yeah, but we can produce up to.
Yes, that is true.
Like I think it's like 36.
Thank you, Stephen.
And also we We also,
oh, that was the wrong one.
Sorry. We are also quite, that's quite large.
Yes.
Like that is a large hobby farm, mm-hmm. scale. So, but like the larger the quantity mm-hmm. sold for less amount of money, whereas like we would have a smaller quantity sold for more amount of money. Mm-hmm. And like the grocery store and the producers for the grocery store, their main goal is profit.
Right.
Whereas like a small farmer, although yes, we still do need to make money. Mm-hmm. We have other goals like animal welfare and yeah. like they're up there with profit as well.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else that you can think of, Lauren?
It's just the sheer amount of people that get fed. It's a big distinction. Like you're feeding grocery stores rather than your local town, your local farmer's market. Yeah. So
right.
Like yeah. the amount of people you can feed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like independent here houses, like all of Carlton, you know, like yeah. they're like the population versus like your
yeah, you couldn't farm population. Sustainably yeah. feed the town of Carlton Place on like our small little
on your
farm.
13 pigs. Yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm. So those are kind of the differences that we've seen. Oh, the other one is, like when a producer makes meat for a grocery store, it's shipped all over the place.
Oh.
So it's shipped from far away typically. Mm. Like it could say Ontario, but Ontario is big.
It could be like Toronto.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but whereas like your local farmer is obviously like
it's local.
15 minutes from you or yeah, down the yeah, road. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's proximity wise, it's like there's differences there too, like where you get your meat from.
Right.
Mm. Or produce or whatever. So those are kind of the differences, I think. That I wrote down. There's probably a lot more.
Yeah, but those are the ones you guys feel and see in your kind of day-to-day stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So I think that covers differences. Do you have any questions?
No, I think you guys kind of answered them already.
Okay.
That I can think of. But I might come up with.
So then we'll talk about like why
yeah.
a farmer's product might cost a little bit more. And I'm going to use farmer versus grocery store. I understand that farmers...
Supply grocery stores,
but I'm going to use farmers for small scale and yes. grocery store for large scale.
No, like, that makes sense.
I would still consider the people who supply meat to the grocery store farmers, but right. it's very different.
Yeah.
It just is different. Yeah. Does that make sense, Lauren? Do you think that makes sense?
No, it's just a definition difference.
Yeah.
No,
so perfect. Like why, let's like break down why farmers might cost more. I looked up for the sake of this, and then we're going to go mm-hmm. back and forth to this. I just looked at independents. That's our local like mid-range. Mm-hmm. It's like not a farm boy, but it's also not like your no frills.
Right.
It's like a mid-range grocery store. And so their butt roast is $5 a pound.
Okay.
So like a typical butt roast would be $20. It's about 4 pounds.
Okay.
So $5 a pound, and we sell ours for $10 a pound.
Okay. So double.
Yeah. So literally double the price. Mm-hmm. So begs the question, right? You know, is it really worth
the double?
Double the price.
Right.
So now we'll get into it.
I would say yes, but
and that's the, and that's, from pure but that's taste. Just not even with our meat. That's the pattern that you see like categorically. You go to farmers markets and you'll see often the meat
right.
substantially double, triple yeah. the cost of what it would be at the grocery store.
Right.
But what are you getting
right.
for that?
Exactly.
And so we'll break down kind of why. Let's see like why it costs that much and go into that. Because it does, like obviously the price... is more so will it, why does it so I would say let's do the first thing is what goes into pricing our products. How would you say that we price our products and like what determining factors, like I would say one of the biggest determining factors how we price mm-hmm. our food is the cost of the animal's food.
Right, like what you're actually feeding.
Like, are you yes. wanting to go down into like what are some of the major costs of producing food? Is that where you want?
Yeah, like what goes into pricing our products? Like when we think about, okay, let's just pick a price for this butt roast. What mm-hmm. goes into that?
Yeah, like why is it $10?
Yeah, pound? So I like obviously we have to factor in what it costs us to produce this mm-hmm. meat. So that the food, obviously.
Well, you have multiple key different. Sections in which that costs us. Like one of our major costs is the food
mm-hmm.
of that. So we spend thousands and thousands of dollars mm-hmm. on buying food. And with the food, so once you, if you're a certain size, you can have deals with your local excuse me, granaries,
right,
or like feed mills and stuff like that, and get it in by the transport truck, which obviously saves you a lot of money because you get it by like bulk,
right? It's like an upfront cost,
yeah. But you have to have the capability of holding it.
Yeah, to house all that.
Well, the rats and wildlife getting to it, as well as you need to get it to a size where it's like growing like any company where it's like you're not afforded certain price breaks until you get to that size in which that like actually makes doing that worth it. And unfortunately, we're kind of under that threshold where it wouldn't be worth it for us. So like food is a very big, because we buy it by the bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like 13 pigs might sound like a lot
to
some people, but it's really, like when you think about it, it's not that much.
No, it's small on compared to.
At our height, when we had our most amount of pigs, at one time we had 42 pigs on the farm. We were going through about 36 pounds to 40, between 36 to 42 pounds of food a day.
What, a day?
A day.
Holy.
And like, so that's a lot.
And how many, okay, do pigs eat 2 meals a day?
Yeah, you feed them twice a day.
Twice a day. Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
So food is a big contributing factor to how we price our food.
Right.
The other thing we look to is like other expenses that might come up, like vet bills.
Oh, that's a big one.
So like we need to factor in all of those expenses, right? Like if you just think about like, all the expenses that happens, and we've gone through this, so I'm just going to brush over it, but like electricity is another one.
Yeah.
Like butchering costs.
Yep.
So I think butchering costs, we probably want to go into a little bit more, but all of those kind of like expenses, we need to factor those into our price because those need to be covered in our price. So those are kind of the things. The other things I thought about were like packaging. We need to package our meat. We have to market it somehow. We have to like do market research to see how other farmers are like pricing. So all of those things kind of go into that $10. And like that's how we came up with that $10, was kind of all those expenses and like how, considerations.
Yeah. I do have a question. If I don't know if how to answer or how to word this, but if like let's say like do the more pigs you have, does that like make it more cost friendly for like if you're going to go get them butchered? Like, is it like you pay the butcher like $600, like because you just pay for his time, or do you pay per pig?
You pay per pig.
You pay per pound a pig.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's a real science of finding. And I, by the way, I was really off. Our average feed was 144 pounds a day.
Yes.
Of food. That's feeding that once they get to their heaviest weight.
Wow.
That's 4 pounds of food a day per pig. And at our highest point, we had like 36 pigs. And that's not feeding our breeders.
Right.
That was just things. So
that's just the.
That was just for the pigs that were being sold, 144 pounds a day.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
With when you bring pigs to butcher, there's like a flat fee, but then you also get charge per pound of what the pig is. So finding, and the way pigs grow is pigs grow efficiently up to a certain weight, and then once they hit that weight, then it's the amount of feed to like growth that they're doing, rather, because you don't want them to be 300 pounds and lots of fat. You want them to be 300 pounds and actual substance of meat,
right?
So there's that efficiency point and where the amount you feed, they stop growing and they start just getting fat. So you have to know that
the sweet threshold.
And for us, our pigs grow between 10 to 11 months. A grocery store, I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it's like, I think it's like 3 to 4 months.
Oh.
And so they're feeding them. Their feed cost.
Like factory farm pigs.
Goes down so much, right? Because we're feeding them over a large portion of time. And not to mention like, we're just buying it from wool growers.
Right.
Like they probably own feeding corporations for these animals.
Probably.
Like these large companies.
Well, no, a lot of these big corporations own like tilling fields and create their own feed. Like they have a whole ecosystem and infrastructure in order to feed their animals so they don't buy it. They're producing it themselves.
And the same with butchering cost.
Okay.
Like because they're butchering thousands of pigs, they will get like better
prices. Or they have their own butcher.
Yeah, they probably
have. No, they own a butcher.
Yeah, like they have their own processing plant.
Wow, that's crazy.
And so like something that I wrote down is that like the, like when your quantities go up, your price per item goes down.
Here's a question for you.
Yes.
From a consumer based.
Okay.
What do you think is the most expensive portion of like when you're paying $10 a pound?
Okay.
For meat, what do you think is the most expensive portion of that going into your meat in the sense of like produce cost?
Like the things that we talked about, like food, butcher, you know,
like the three expenses. major yeah. contribution would be food, butchering, and just like I think that's pretty much it. Apart, infrastructure is not
infrastructure,
but that's not a non, like it's a non value added.
Yeah.
I guess well, I'm biased because I know you guys.
Yeah.
But I would like think like if I'm like, oh, this is $5 more a pound, then I'm thinking like, oh, they must have really good quality food or they must have like a really good quality place. Like, you know, right. like that's where my mind goes when I'm buying stuff. Like even from you guys, I'm like, okay, well I know like they're outside, they're free range.
Stefan thinks you're wrong.
Did you not agree with my answer?
Am I jumping? If I answer the question, am I jumping really far? Can we circle back?
No, I think you should answer the question and we should go into, answer the question.
Yeah. So
did I answer it correctly?
Food is very expensive. Food is about 40% of our cost.
Okay.
But the other 60%.
Yeah. No, it's the other way around. We went over the numbers just before. So 60% is food. It's just over butcher cost. So
yeah. At least I was going to say like, if you go, you could go to a random butcher. Obviously you want a guy who's going to like do a good job.
But to me, our butcher cost is the most significant factor.
Yeah.
Food is one thing, and we could definitely get more value added to our food in the sense of like we choose to feed them pellets.
Okay. Oh yeah, pellets versus whatever.
But there's a lot of farmers that you could feed them like them a certain amount of hay, like certain amount of pellets, and then substitute with hay.
Okay.
And that would be a more efficient way.
Right.
It's definitely the pellets are more nutrients dense.
Right.
But there is we could reduce costs and still have high quality.
Okay.
But where you can't cut corners is the butcher.
And let's go into that.
Cutting of the meat.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, you could want a really good butcher, but the problem is all of them are government regulated.
We're
you don't have just like a, you don't have a cheaper option.
And we're probably going to bounce back for the listeners. We're probably going to bounce back using the term abattoir or butcher.
Okay.
When we say that, we're referring to the same thing.
Yeah.
Because they are the exact same thing. Most people would think of a butcher as like Beckwith Butcher.
Yeah.
But in our sense, a butcher and an abattoir do two different things, but are one company.
Gotcha.
And that is half the problem, to be
honest.
The
abattoir slaughters, butcher cuts,
but they're always one company at the same facility.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're government regulated, and to be honest, like they, like Lauren said, they're 40% of our cost.
Right.
But they have to pay for environmental fees, waste disposal. They have a lot of overhead.
Which then gets passed on to us.
Yeah.
Right. So that affects you guys with your cost.
And like, let's be honest, it's they like have to make money too, right?
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's their job too.
They're in a business, so they have to make money too, and I understand that, but there is a lot of fees that we go through, and it's like Lauren said, probably 40% of our cost.
Right. And then we just learned that it doesn't matter. It's the number of pigs. Like you don't get a discount for like, 20 of other pigs, you know, you need to get, you know, 30% off each next pig after, you know, like it's not like that. Right. It's
exactly.
It's it doesn't matter. It's the per pig cost.
Yeah.
So does that make you want to have more pigs or less pigs or stay the same?
It makes me wish that the rules were
different.
Different.
Right.
And it's a necessary cost.
Of course.
Like same with food and same with butcher. It's a necessary cost because legally we can't do it ourselves.
The worst part is food you can hone.
Yeah.
You can hone in and lean out your process so you can ultimately get a big, better. The butcher, you're just done. Like it's like tens of thousands of dollars in order to get your... For like, even for as a small butcher, like it costs us north of $10,000 to butcher our livestock.
Wow.
Like that is a huge
chunk
that we just have to pay. It's not even like, I have to pay a lot of money to feed my pigs, but I could then put infrastructure in and to help reduce it. Mm. This is just, if you want to play, you got to pay thing. And that's
if you
want to
sell it and you have to pay for a stamp so that we can resell it. So if we were just like eating it.
Yeah. If it was just going to your family.
Yeah. Then like, you have to get a government regulated stamp.
We pay extra on top of our butchering fees.
right,
in order just to get that stamp.
And didn't we learn that this is that the only type of meat that needs that? Or that is so controlled because of that guy?
No, that's just the reason why pigs are particularly controlled is because it has nothing to do with like the arbitrary side of it. It's just pigs are classified as an invasive species. Like if you look at Texas or anywhere in the southern states, they have a rampant problem. So they're just heavily monitored because they don't want that to happen in Canada.
Gotcha.
That kind of like what we've seen happen in Alberta. They don't want feral pigs being all over the place. Yeah. That's for that. It's not regarding the processing.
But every meat, every livestock, chickens included, need to be to be slaughtered and butchered in a government regulated facility. And if you want to resell it, you need to have a stamp.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Fish might be different, but I don't know about fish.
I don't know about fish. Can you have a fish farm question?
It's probably something.
Stefan's saying yes.
I would also think so. That might be a Curtis question. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huh.
Put that in the burn pile.
Can you have a fish farm?
Yeah. Yep, you can.
I have family that works on a fish farm.
Actually?
Yeah, that's up in cool. Alberta.
No.
Oh, sorry.
Vancouver.
Vancouver, sorry.
Wait, I've been to a fish farm, actually, in Vancouver.
Okay. Yeah.
It was
one of my cousins. One of my cousins is a diver at a salmon farm, and he dives at the tanks to clean out any of the fish that get caught in the guards. Or that die, because once if you have like a sick fish or a dead fish, then it can poison the rest of the fish. Yeah. So they have divers that examine the tanks.
Maybe I saw your cousin.
Maybe.
Maybe. So I think that covers cost.
Mm-hmm. I think. Well, I don't know. I'm saying yes.
Anyways, when you look at a farmer next time and you go to buy meat, know that they're paying through the nose for butchering costs to just be able to get that to you, as well as their feed cost.
Yeah, their costs as a small scale, our costs as a small scale farmer are astronomically higher than a large scale farming operation.
Mm-hmm.
Partially because they own the government regulated stuff and we don't. But so then let's talk about profit, because sure, it costs us more.
Right.
But I want to be clear. I believe, and I didn't go into this, but I think Lauren would agree with me, that the $5 per pound butt roast at your local grocery store is creating a higher, actually, I know, I did look into the numbers, is creating a higher profit for those large corporations than our $10 a pound butt roast.
Because of the large scale of it?
Yeah. So their cost is down.
It's the McDonald's principle. It's low cost, high volume equals big profit.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas where we have low volume, low profit.
Right.
Which is
No.
We're going to get to that.
So like when you go into the grocery store, even though your checkout cost is less, they're making up a higher percentage.
Right, because they could have sold 20 that day at that grocery store.
Mikhail looked up the percentage of what an average grocery store makes.
So like in the food industry, and this is very like light, it could be more in specific grocery stores, but I just looked at the food industry in general, and it's about 20 to 30% profit margins, which is fairly low for a company, like to be honest. So that's just a quick Google search, but 20 to 30%. So when you think about your $5 per pound, so I said it was like $20, it's about 4 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So your $20 butt roast from the grocery store, they're probably profiting $6 from that.
Mm.
So let's say they profit $6, but you're like, oh, that's not that much. But like, think about $6 profit, straight net profit, and thousands of grocery stores all over the nation.
Like that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, right?
Span's gonna do the math. He's not doing the math. He doesn't want to. I thought you got out your phone to do the math.
But we as a company, or as Ruach Farm, we looked at our P&L for last fiscal year, so January 2023 to December 2023. And just in our pork business, we made 10% profit.
That's still excellent though.
So, but when you think about it, our price is double, but our profit is half.
Yeah, is 10 to 20% less than.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so interesting though.
Yeah.
But again, and then you look at it though, you're only butchering 13 pigs a year. Like, you know, then you look at that stuff, but still. Yeah. But 10%, that's still excellent though. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's a great. Oh,
excuse me,
dog. You might hear Goose.
Goose. Hi. Oh, we have Goose here and Cash. So,
The grocery store. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, sorry. Things are falling off the rails.
Well, people didn't hear it. Come here.
The dogs are getting antsy.
Hello.
Hello, Stefan. Welcome to the chat.
I need to get... We forgot a mic, so I don't have one. According to some very light research, it's not very well fact-checked.
Yeah.
But I did Google it because I was curious. The grocery stores can make up to 30% on profit because they're resellers of the meat. The meat itself, the company's reported at 11% profit.
Hmm.
The Maple Leaf Company, like the Maple Leaf Foods, like the guys that do bacon and ham.
So they're probably making a roughly around the same profit of us, but they're still selling it for less.
So much volume.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So when you put that into perspective, right, when you see that $10 per pound, twice the amount, it's just hard to equate when they're like, well, everyone's like, it's so expensive. But like, you have to understand that we're not charging ridiculous prices just because we want to make a bunch of money. In fact, our profit is the same amount as that $5
exactly
butt roast
that we just learned. That's crazy.
Yeah. Just because it's a smaller scale.
Right.
So yeah. Do you want to say anything, Lauren?
No. I think you hit it.
Crushed it.
Yeah, so I think it's clear that the $10 per pound is scalable, right? Like it's a proper scale profit wise. Not always helpful just to compare dollar to dollar without having more information of the underneath. So I guess that's what this podcast is about. The underneath.
The underneath. Diving into the industry.
Yeah.
Well,
do you have any questions so far?
No, I was gonna say, like, we kind of talked about money. Is there anything now talking actually about the pork?
Yeah,
like, is it better for you? Is it
like the quality of it
better?
Well,
tasting?
So let's we're obviously biased. I mean, you're biased too.
I'm also biased, but you can talk and then
but
I'll
like
talk.
Let's talk about when we run out of bacon. It was just impeding very soon. Like I said, we only have 20 pounds of bacon. Do you just like automatically I'm like, oh, the grocery store bacon's just as good?
No, absolutely not. I'm like, oh, this is great. Okay.
We abstain. Like, we just don't eat bacon.
You just fast from it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Literally. Not because, oh, it's our bacon. Like, we could get it from other farmers and we would eat it from other farmers. But, like, I refuse to buy bacon in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Because it's just not as good.
Yeah. It is not. The flavor is totally different. So you would just, like, skip BLTs?
Yeah. Or we would use a different cut of pork.
Right.
Like maybe we would slice up a ham, fry the ham, or...
We'll just have the LT.
Yeah. LT.
We'll go completely...
Straight up vegetarian.
Vegetarian. Well, maybe we'll put some cucumbers in there.
Yeah. Ooh. There you go. Another B, use something else.
But like the butter. Quality is something. And that's something I wrote down too, is that like that quality and taste is kind of relative, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're gonna have to decide what, as a consumer, what tastes different to you, what tastes better, quote unquote. Like some people would be like, oh, your pork is too, quote unquote, gamey for us. It's like, you know, your taste is relative to you. So I can't tell you it tastes better. But what we do talk about all the time is I cannot understand how somebody can say to me like that a pig who is outside gets to root for bugs, wallow in, you know, mud and eat like fresh apples off the tree in the fall
and have fun.
Doesn't taste better than a pig who like doesn't even breathe outside air.
Yeah.
Like I just like, you can't tell me that.
Yeah.
The pig who doesn't breathe outside air tastes better.
No, I agree with that.
I just think like people say all the time, like you are what you eat. And like, I want to eat a pig.
I want to be an outdoor pig.
Yeah. I would much rather know that my, you know.
Yeah. Cause mentally when you're eating it, you're knowing, like we talked about like quality of life of the animals and stuff. Like that they're like free, like they have the freedom to go whenever and they can come inside and outside, just like we've talked about like chickens in the past.
Yeah.
Like knowing that mentally while eating it, I'm like, and it's like a story to tell, like, cause Stefan and I love cooking. We're like, oh man, this pig, like, you know, like when we're cooking carnitas or something, we're like, you know, like this pig like had a great life.
Yeah.
You know, like it wasn't trapped in some factory and like piled on top of each other. You know what I mean? Like it's just,
what's interesting though is that like a lot of people eat out of the necessity, not because they want to taste good flavor, but because they need to eat. So in the world of like, we're really passionate of having our farm animals and having high quality meats. One, because we care about our animals, but two, we love good food. We like going to high end restaurants. We like trying good quality food. And for someone that just is eating for the sake of necessity, or that just, to be honest, is just not a good cook either, like just boils the crap out of stuff or just doesn't put flavor in, they're not going to care about a $50 pork chop or a $10 pork chop from the grocery store. They're just going to go for the $10 pork chop because they're not putting the effort in. You could still have a really high quality cut of meat and absolutely butcher it.
Yeah.
Like, so why would you pay exorbitant prices? And there's a lot of people like that.
Yeah,
so
totally.
It's really catering to, one, the financial crowd that can handle it, as well as the foodies,
the foodie crowd
that actually really care, or the health conscious people. There's kind of like three demographics that are soding.
Good point too is the health conscious people, like
environmentalists, like people are all for that. Yeah,
like because it's no surprise that the animals who grow up in a factory need supplements. They need
and some of the meats, they literally add color to it because it's so like bland color. Like particularly, like they do that with salmon, like factory farm salmon versus like wild caught salmon. They added color. They add color to the meat because it's so pale in order to look at more like
that. To look more like what it looks like on.
Well, and you can see the difference in like pictures we've posted, even with our pork. Grocery store pork is like white.
Yeah,
like it's likened to chicken that is like a little pink.
Yeah,
but our pork is red.
It's red. It's like steak color.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it partially it's breed, but partially it's because it goes outside. It has that quality of life that we've been talking about.
The muscles are being exercised. Like, you know, like it's the blood's pumping.
We had somebody, my mom reminded us today, somebody from Stittsville who was just Googling farms in the area. And he said that his wife just like started getting sick when she'd eat meat from the grocery store. I don't know what it was. Like, I didn't get the whole story, but he said that he was looking for someplace that doesn't put antibiotics in their pork, doesn't put. So he asked the person questions, and we don't give our pigs anything.
No.
And he was like, great, I'll come pick up some pork. So for some people are health conscious that way.
Yeah.
Where they care like about what goes into their meat, and not just meat, vegetables and
totally
and the other stuff they eat. Like
in the garden. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like so, pesticides and stuff. Yeah.
So health wise. Yeah. Of course, it's going to be more beneficial to eat meat or produce that you know where it came from. So yeah, I think health-wise. But the reality is,
Is that it's an unfortunate reality.
Yeah, you go ahead.
The world is not sustainable on on local farmers and doing it like natural, like no GMO. Like we could not sustain the amount of food needed for our society without having factory farms.
Yeah.
And that goes with everything, whether it's fruit, vegetables, without having major pesticides and major chemicals in our foods, we could not produce the amount of food. We would starve. And that's the unfortunate reality of living in a partially broken world is that we were reliant on that. And we definitely could, as a society, change how we're consuming and maybe consume less in order to be able to consume higher quality. But it's still the fact that it would be literally impossible for us to produce the quantity of food in order to sustain our
It's a necessary society. Evil.
Exactly. So it really turns into people who can financially afford it, who care about it, and are health conscious.
And it's also about like picking and choosing. Like we don't choose to buy meat from the grocery store, mm-hmm. but we choose to buy our produce from the grocery store and our yep. breads and our like yeah. stuff like that. So,
but a lot of people, that's not a financial capability as
for
well.
For sure.
Like there's a lot of people that don't have a choice and they're yep. they're getting it from the bunker at 50% off. Like it comes down.
No, we're
down
very privileged to be yeah. able to.
And so this isn't
that.
Meant to like put anybody down no. or to shame like, oh, you should be buying. No, it's not meant for that. It's just more meant for educational purposes.
Totally.
Of like, yep. hey, next time you walk by a farmer at a farmer's market or something and think like, wow, that is so expensive. Like, mm-hmm. is that actually worth that price? Well, first, I think you have to try it. And second, like you as the consumer actually get to decide worth. Mm-hmm. Like that you're like the worth is in the eye of the beholder, right? Yep. So like if you think it's worth it, yeah. If you don't think it's worth it, then sure. But at least now you feel like you have a more educated
for sure.
understanding
you understand more. Yeah.
Of why it's worth like why it is $10. Mm-hmm. And then now you can actually decide, okay, it's worth it for that yeah. $10 butt roast or whatever, $40 butt roast compared to a $20 butt roast. Mm-hmm. You actually get to decide. But I think a lot of the time it's just people making uneducated comments and not really mm-hmm. knowing, and that's not their
no,
fault.
No, and they probably didn't even mean it.
Exactly. It's yeah. just now as we're trying to educate more people on what it costs mm-hmm. and what our actual profit is, we feel like we can people can just have a better understanding and like a gracious approach to like understanding why
yeah
the price is the way it is.
Yeah.
Like we're not making twice the amount of money.
No, exactly. And like the other thing too, like I've noticed since even marrying Stefan and stuff. And I think probably too with COVID, like everyone was like support local, like help the small businesses out and stuff. But like even like, I don't know, Stefan and I started dating in COVID. So maybe that's all I know. But it also going into that mindset too, I'm like, oh, I'm helping out this family farm, yep. right? Like I'm helping out like, you know, Caitlin and she does the gardening and stuff. And then you guys yeah. with the pork, you know, and the chickens and stuff. So like also knowing that too. But yeah. again, not everybody has that mindset. So it's kind of.
Yeah. And
different.
It honestly, like the customers, like we couldn't do without customers. No small business can. Right.
No,
like
yeah.
the customers supply us with
yep.
the ability to do what we do. And we appreciate when people try us out and
yeah.
then decide like whether it's worth it for them or not. Like,
yeah.
We just really appreciate.
And even if it's only a couple times purchase, you know, yeah. like you still got your name out there and
yeah,
like, exactly. and they got to try good pork.
Yeah, exactly. Or eggs.
Or eggs, chicken, yeah. turkey.
So I don't know. Do you have anything else to add, Lauren, or any other questions?
I think that's pretty much it. I'm just rolling through our notes here and I think we pretty much covered everything.
I think so.
Yeah, that was good. I don't think I have any other questions. I feel like I've kind of asked them kind of throughout. So,
yeah.
But no, that was really good. That was really interesting. Like, I know you guys know all the business side of things and like, I'm just the consumer, right? So, and your friend, but like, so it's interesting to see, like, I would have thought that, like, I know food was the bigger cost, but like, I would have thought that that was the more important one. But now having learned this, the butcher or abattoir is the more actual important one. So that's really yeah. cool. It's interesting. I like that.
The more you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My brain is full.
Knowledge.
Well, yeah. Hopefully next time we will have an extra mic.
Yeah. So Stefan can talk.
And this will go out on Monday, February.
Well, like this coming Monday, the 5th?
4th?
It mm-hmm. is the 5th.
The 4th, yeah.
No, the 5th is Monday.
Okay, so 5th is Monday. And I think we plugged this last time, but we'll plug it again.
Yes.
We're having a worship night.
Yes.
If you're in our Carlton Place area and mm-hmm. want to attend a church worship night,
yep.
it's on February 9th.
Yep.
So you'll be cutting it down to the wire if you subscribe on February 5th, but we'd love to have you.
Yes. It's going to be awesome.
That's where our extra mic is. That's
that
what
is where
think
our
about
extra
it.
Mic. So
we have 47 people signed up so far.
That's so great.
So we're almost full.
And is that not including us too?
No, that's not including us. Or,
that's
the,
great.
Band.
Or the
band.
Or the band. That's yeah. awesome. So yeah, if you guys are interested, you should come out. It's going to be really great. What's our theme again?
God's faithfulness.
God's faithfulness. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm excited. It's going to be really good. Anyways, so when you guys hear this, come if you want.
Yep. We'll cool. talk to you then or yes. we'll talk to you next time.
Bye. Oh, no, bye.
Bye.